Welcome to the Nerd Out and Workout Podcast.
What is up, everyone? This is Coach Austin here coming to you with Hyper Strength and Conditioning with another Nerd Out and Workout podcast episode where we nerd out, workout, and podcast. And today we're going to be going over mental performance during strenuous situations. And we are joined by a specialist himself. He goes by the name of Sonny, and I'm going to have him introduce himself more thoroughly. Sonny, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. My name is Sonny. I work as a master resilience trainer, performance expert for the United States Army. So my field is sports psychology. I have a master's in sports psychology. And what we primarily focus on is training resilience for athletes, working through mental skills so that they can perform at their best at a consistent rate. So obviously I do that now with the United States Army. So my job right now is working with senior officers, consulting them so that they can be more mentally resilient, not them just themselves, but also how can they trickle down into a system so that their following soldiers and units are also resilient. And obviously mental performance is becoming a more wide health aspect, being more incorporated into companies and performance teams. So excited to be here today, and thank you for having me.
Good deal, man. What got you into the whole mental performance aspect? Like, what drew you in to be a specialist in this field?
Good question. I think I've always really liked psychology, and I think when I was an undergrad, I was really thinking about if I wanted to go into like the clinical route or something that I would be passionate about. And back then, I was also really into martial arts, and nice. I heard an interview of Chael Sonnen, who said, he always found a way to lose within the second round in a certain time frame. And when he saw a sports psychologist, he said the reason so was because he always found a way to self-sabotage. You know, mm-hmm. He always subconsciously found a way to get himself out of there without him knowing it. And I think the way that the sports psychologist helped him, I found those just so fascinating, and that's where I really became passionate and kept moving forward with it.
Oh, that's actually pretty good. So Chael Sonnen would actually self-sabotage himself during fights.
Right. And I can't really recall his interview verbatim, but he always found himself to find himself in like a choke within 2 minutes of the second round. So I thought that was crazy.
Do you find that a lot now? Like when you're, as you are a mental resilience trainer, do you find that that's common in the average person, or is it, do you see that more often or no?
No, I think maybe in high performers, like high athletes, they might develop that. But I think most of them eventually nick that out if they have enough practice with mental skills, right?
Oh, that's good. All right. Is there like a preferred system? Like how do you become a mental resilience trainer? Like what is that?
Yeah, the field of sports psychology is still very much like, I would say, in its infancy. It's still growing, and there's a lot of still like systems like being ironed out. So You can be a sports psychologist, and that is, you become a clinical counseling psychologist and you specialize in sport, right? And the other way would be you get a master's degree in sports psychology and then you become a certified mental performance consultant, right? That's what I'm aiming towards, and you need to get a certain amount of hours. You need to go through like the certification process, and you go through a organization called Association for Applied Sports Psychology. That's the governing body of sports psychology. Yeah, and that's primarily how people or consultants will work with professional teams. Maybe they'll be invited to work for the United States like Olympic Committee. That's like the cream of the crop.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. But you're like, you're almost there.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll be there within the next year or so.
Hey, man, but still, Master Resilience Trainer for the U.S. Army? That's insane. That's good.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So what I wanted to kind of pick your brain about and have our listeners kind of learn from and take from is especially during COVID-19, especially people just trapped in their homes, a lot of I truly feel like mental performance right now is actually being tested more than ever, because it's like everyone's routine's fucked. Like, everyone's out of whack. It's an unprecedented time. People are getting laid off. It's just really bad stuff left and right. People are forced to adjust, not only but mentally. And the frontline workers, the nurses, the doctors, and everyone else in between that are taking this head on, they're mentally, you know, pushing through it. And what I wanted to ask you was, what are three ways? It doesn't have to be three, but usually, what are three or more ways for these people who find themselves in this situation, which is like 99% of us right now?
How do we
push through this mentally? What can we do for ourselves to keep sane, but at the same time, keep in a space where we are mentally okay going into this, and we will be mentally okay getting out of this?
Perfect. So I think I would first address that with COVID-19, everything is so uncertain. And that creates a lot of stress for individuals, right? So when there's a lot of uncertainty, people can't really have that mental flexibility as if they would have if everything was going normal, right? So if everything is going normal and you have stress coming in one at a time, you can deliberately set your attention to one of those things at a time, and you overcome those stressors or those problems that may occur. When everything is uncertain and you have so many things that are changing around you, you can't really seem to think clear or straight. Again, when your routine is out of place, you know, you're kind of all over the fucking place, right? As you say. So I guess the number one thing I would say is maybe find your routine at home, right? So if this is going to be your new setting and you're really uncertain of when everything is going to be back to normal, how can you create a sense of normalcy in your own home? So number one is find a routine. And if you really don't know where to start with creating your own routine again, maybe take one thing from your past routine and bring it into your new one. For example, for me, going to the gym is a very big staple of my mental health prior to COVID-19, right? So when I became settled at home and there's nowhere else to go, the one thing I looked for first is, where can I find space for me to be physically active and get that mental space back? So set a time, maybe it's just one thing bringing in over at a time, but that's just create a routine. And that starts with one foundation that you can bring from your past. Number two, gratitude is one of the most profound skills that we can have in terms of how can we be grateful for something. And even if, especially if you're a nurse and you're going day in, day out and seeing the tragedy of this epidemic, a pandemic, even if you force yourself to be grateful, that has had a very big effect in terms of how you can be more optimistic moving forward. And being optimistic is really, really important for you to be physically, spiritually, mentally, you know, functioning, right? So again, even if you aren't grateful or you don't feel grateful, just find a way to force yourself to be grateful about something. And if I was a nurse, I think the thing I would say to myself is, I guess I would be grateful that I even have the skill to help, right? So when you have this pandemic, someone like me, I can't go into the hospital and help these people, right? Because I don't have those certain set of skills. So whereas I might feel a little bit of helplessness because I can't help this cause, maybe the nurses will feel a grateful or gratitude that they actually have the capacity to help this nation, right? They're essentially heroes within this time. So I think that's something that they can relate to. And lastly, I think when people get really clustered with so many things going on and they can't really seem to think clearly, we like to give an acronym to soldiers, and that is WIN, And that is, what is important now, right?
Ooh, a good one.
Yeah, so when everything is going around, what is the most important thing you can do at that given moment? Maybe you're a nurse, again, and you have 10 patients that are on, I don't know what the term is, but let's say they're critical, right? And they're all in danger, right? But let's say, who's the one person that I can help at this given moment? And maybe that'll give you some sort of clarity and to just bring it to action rather than just being stuck and thinking about so many of these like stressors that you're going on that you can't even effectively move, right? So those are some strategies that I can think of, and hopefully people in the healthcare can listen and figure out if one of them works for them.
That's good. So I like how you put like routine, establish a routine. And the second one was, what was the second one? I'm brain fried.
Gratitude.
There you go. That's how bad it is, because I feel like that gratitude part, I feel like people kind of gloss it over, you know?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
When have you ever in your daily, like the average person, right? And when have they ever stopped to think like, what am I thankful for right now? What's going good? You know, it's usually like, oh my God, what's going on? You know, and gratitude, that's a great one. And then the third one you put was, what's important now? Win.
Yeah.
Win aspect.
You just got to win the moment, right?
I like how you mentioned clarity on the last one. Clarity is something that I feel like a lot of people right now, even before COVID-19 happened, I just feel like clarity is something that people have always been striving to get. It's like a state of mind, right? Clarity is like,
right.
People have been searching, and like it's always like, I don't know what to do in my life. I don't love my job. I don't da, 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 clarity. Like that point of that mental state. What are some ways to really help people get some clarity? Like, to strive closer to it. I know you said, you know, what's important now, but what about the long-term aspect? What about, you know, people who are just always caught in this weird haze of thoughts or weird, like, I don't know what I'm doing right now with my life or what, you know, like, I just feel like I need clarity. I see it all the time. I hear it all the time, especially when I consult with clients.
Yeah.
And I'm able to help give them clarity as far as their fitness and health, but I'm talking about like overall, you know, clarity as a mindset. How would you attack that? How would you coach someone to get there?
That's a very open-ended thought. And I guess the way I would tackle or consult someone who says they have a lack of clarity is, well, I think the way I would start is, what are your goals? What are you striving for? Right. So if it's, you know, goals have a really great way of driving your motivation towards something. So if you can find where you want to go, then you can essentially find what's important to you right now in that space that can get you closer. If you don't have clarity in terms of you don't really know where you're headed moving forward, you know, focusing on your passion and seeing where that passion may lead you, I think is something that I would focus on too, right?
Passion. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Good point. There's few people out there who would claim that they don't have a passion, or like they feel like, I don't know what I'm passionate about. I don't know what I'm supposed to be passionate about. Like, you know, like, so how would you address that? Because we get that. Like, I from an outside looking in, we go, dude, you're passionate about painting. You love to paint. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, it's just something I'm good at, but I'm not passionate. And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know. No one paints that well and not say they're not passionate. I just feel like that there's more to that. Isn't there?
I think a big reason why people don't pursue their passion. I want to preface that. If you don't pursue your passion, like, that is okay. And I think there's not enough of that being said out there. Mm. There's a lot of influence that says, if you're not driving for your passion, then you are not being productive in your life, or overall, you're just not doing it right. And I don't think that's right. I think if you want to work and you want to do your passion as a side hobby or whatever, like, that's perfectly fine. if you want to pursue your passion as like your overall career and you want to be really driven for that, that's fucking great too. So I just wanted to say that first. And
it needs to be said. I'm really glad you brought that up. I don't think it's said enough.
Yeah, it's like it's completely okay if you want to work a 9-to-5 and you provide for your whatever and you do your passion on the side. That what's so wrong with that, right? Mm-hmm. Why does everybody have to be like 10 out of 10 in terms of achieving everything that they wanted to do in terms of their passion, right?
All those internet
exactly. And if people do want to pursue their passion, right, and they know where to go and they know this is their passion, but they can't really commit, you know, my guess is that they probably have a sense of fear of failure, right? Maybe I don't want to take that risk because people know me. I have this reputation. Maybe because I'm going to be embarrassed. Maybe because I will just fail, right? So people, sometimes there's always going to be a risk in terms of pursuing something else that you've already established your career path on. So I think that's something to note as well. So, you know, if you really wanted to pursue your passion, then you would take those risks slowly. Or, you know, if you try more often, you're most likely going to make a step forward towards your passion, right?
Oh, it's good. I like that. I just love how you brought up that. It's just you bring some good truth, man. Good stuff. Like, it's true. I truly feel that people don't say, I'm a passionate guy. I love what I do and all that stuff. But I do get questions like that. Like, how did you find out what you're so passionate about? And, you know, how did you pursue? How did you know exactly that you wanted to be a gym owner and da 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 da?
Right.
But I tell people, like, look, I love, you know, my passion isn't really like training or working out. I love coaching. I mean, that's one of the things I'm passionate about. If you were asking me in the beginning, like what I was truly passionate about, I wanted to work for Pixar. I wanted to be in editing. I wanted to be an animator. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to tell stories. I love to tell stories, but I just didn't go that route. I went somewhere else. And, you know, and you always hear that narrative, especially from these like YouTube gurus. They're like, you know, you got to pursue your passion and, you know, give a sacrifice and you're not pursuing your passion. And what are you doing? You're just wasting from a 9-to-5, but it's like, what's wrong with a 9-to-5? It's like, well, you're not controlling your destiny. And even if you make 6 figures, you're not successful. And it's like, dude, what really? Like, I just feel like that type of mentality is really fucking a lot of people up, because what is wrong with working a 9-to-5 and just doing something you're passionate about as a hobby, as something where it's like, it's something for you? And I just don't feel, I truly feel that people don't hear that enough. I truly feel that a lot of people, especially in this day and age where it's like people just want to, they want to hustle and like,
right,
entrepreneur. And I'm like, bro, you really want to own your own business?
Exactly.
You really want to do this? It's fun for a while. But yeah, that's great. And the way you mentioned failure, because people are afraid of failure, right? Failure is this whole thing too. Like, people don't want to fail, all that stuff. What is the perspective of failure, especially when you're dealing with high performing operators or, you know, you soldiers and all that stuff? Like, what is, you know how they always say failure is not an option. What is really behind that? What is really behind all that stuff involving failure? Like, you know, there's always a risk aspect. How do you deal with that?
How do people, I'm going to just like ask you again. Are you asking how people can deal with failure or fear of failure?
Like, yes. That? I'm asking from a mental aspect.
Right.
To deal with just the issue of failure when you're going into someone, you're doing something, when you're afraid of failure, how do you even tackle that whole failure situation? I know it's like people say, oh, it's a lesson to be learned and da-da-da. But, you know, like, how do you mentally prepare for failure? Like, that's actually what I'm trying to get at.
So a lot of athletes that train, I don't think they train for failure, right? Mm-hmm. Because and I think sometimes the mistake that athletes will make is that they have all this plan in terms of simulating training and competition and stuff, but they don't expect things to go wrong. And I think when they don't expect things to go wrong, that is when it hurts them the most, right? So let's say I have a plan as a fighter. I'm planning my fight, five minute rounds, whatever. And in my mental training, my physical training, there's all these things that are going to happen. But if I don't expect something wrong that happens, I'm more likely to feel the consequence of that. Do you know what I'm saying? If I'm not expecting all the things that are going to go wrong, then when those things do go wrong, I'm more likely going to stumble, right? Mm. So as a way of helping athletes, I would tell them, expect almost everything to go wrong and have a plan for that, right? Because in sport and in life, things do go wrong. And you can't predict the future and you can't predict all the positive outcomes, but you also can't predict all the negative outcomes. And let's say I only prepare for the positive outcomes. Well, those are best case scenarios. So if those happens, that's great. But why wouldn't I prepare for the worst case scenarios that are actually going to hinder me the most from achieving my goals, right? So when preparing to perform or preparing to, you know, do whatever it is that you do, maybe you're giving a business meeting or you're going into a performance, have a plan B, have a plan C, like expect all the things that could happen and have a plan for that. That's something that I would say.
Oh, very good. I like that. That's good. One thing I wanted to get your point of view on, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know where you lay on the spectrum, but what's your take on meditation? What's your take on that?
I think meditation is a very useful tool. I think people in performance have done mindfulness training, you know, just being present in the moment to not think about, you know, all the other stuff that could be happening in the past and the future, just being where you are and being really present in terms of what you are doing. I think that really helps people find coherence in their actions and in their, you know, present space. I do it sometimes. I used to use a really cool app called Headspace. It gives you 10 free sessions, I think, that are like only like 10, 12 minutes long, and just helps you, guides you, be present in the moment. It gives you like a meditation training. But we also use deliberate breathing as a technique to regulate your emotions if you are about to perform or something and you're really anxious, whatever. It's a way to bring yourself down. I don't know if you would consider that like meditation the way you think of it, but for me, I think meditation is just a great tool overall. No problems with it. Yeah.
No, that's good. I was wondering, what do you mean bring yourself down? Like when someone's about to freak out, is that usually when like, hey, do this breathing exercise? Because you always hear like, do a breathing exercise, and you're like, what? But like, how does it actually help you calm down when you actually focus on the breath?
Yeah. So we try to teach energy management, right? So let's say there's a curve, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm just trying a big inverse U curve. And let's say I'm about to go into competition. If I have really low energy, as in mental, physical, and emotional, right? That is what I mean by energy. Like, let's say I just got out of bed and I have to perform something and have really low energy. I'm probably not going to do very well, right? And let's take the opposite of that. And let's say I have just so much energy. Like, you have all these butterflies in your stomach. You're sweating. You feel like you're about to vomit. You know, you can't even think straight because you're thinking of so many things at the same time, because that's how much anxiety you have. You're most likely also not going to perform that well too, right? So there's a fine space in between those two spectrums where the right amount of emotional, physical, and mental energy is going to help you perform at your actual best. So if you have too much energy, one way to bring yourself down is by deliberate breathing. So the way you do deliberate breathing, and I'm sure there's multiple ways you could teach this, but is with your diaphragm. So your strength and conditioning coach, when you do a deadlift, you know how you use your diaphragm to really engage your core? That's where you want to get your breath into. So it's not just like in your mouth, but you want to really use your stomach to get in that air, right? So if you inhale for 3 seconds and you exhale for 4 seconds and you do that repetitively for about 2 to 4 minutes right before you compete, you can bring yourself down a little bit if you have too much anxiety before you perform. So that's a very quick way to dial in on breathing.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I was like doing it while you were trying to, I'm like, that's all good, man. That's really good. Do you have any other last minute advice you'd want to give to anyone listening to this episode, just about to how to better help their mindset, better help them perform mentally?
Yeah. I guess the thing that I would like to communicate is like, for me, I like to say there's not that much pressure, right? So right now, there's always this constant thought that I'm having is that I have to be as productive as possible. And sometimes I have a little bit of stress because I feel like I'm not being as productive enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of the influence that's being put out in social media too. And something that I have to make sure that I remind myself is that, hey, it's okay to just like do your work and chill, right? It's a goddamn pandemic. Like just chill, like do your work, do what you have to get done. You don't have to be doing like all this crazy other stuff that, you know, like puts you so far ahead of everybody else. Like right? You just gotta do what's in front of you, what's important, like relax. So, you know, I think hopefully someone will resonate with me on that thought, you know, just chill, right?
That's good. Just chill. Quarantine and chill. That's good. That's really good. Awesome stuff. Well, thank you, Sonny, for coming on board with this episode. I really hope this, I truly feel this episode would help a lot of people. I mean, the things you've said, the things you've shared, great stuff, man. Great stuff. We will be sharing it on all of our channels. If you guys haven't yet, please subscribe to our podcast channel, like all the things. Give us a great review if you can. Sonny, you could give me your social links. Yeah. We'll put on the show notes for people to follow.
Sure.
Is there anything else you'd want to promote last minute or?
You know, no, not really. Just be grateful and do your work and it's going to be okay.
Look at that. True mental resilience trainer fashion. Good job. Great stuff. Thank you. Thank you everyone for listening. This is Coach Austin with Hyper Strength and Conditioning with your Nerd Out and Workout podcast, joined by Sonny, the mental resilience trainer for the U.S. Army. And we've had some great knowledge bombs here. And I hope you guys take it, run with it, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you guys later. Okay, bye.